Right, you can reach out and talk to him.
So this is September 5th, 2018, in compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act. This is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building and distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Would you all please rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence for our men and women in the service.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. First agenda item is presentation of minutes from the regular and executive session of August 15th, 2018. Is there any discussion or a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the regular and executive session meeting minutes from August 15th, 2018.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Next item would be to open to public comment. Just to remind people, these meetings are recorded and posted on our website. There'll be actually four opportunities for public comment tonight. So if you have comments on either of the two ordinances for public hearings, those can be made at that time. Otherwise, this time we would accept comments related to agenda items only. Is there a motion to open to public comment?
I'll make a motion to open to public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. At this time, anyone from the public who would like to make a comment related to tonight's agenda, you can come up to the microphone. Seeing none, is there a motion to close?
Make a motion to close public comment.
Is there a second? Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So, the next item, with great pleasure, we're going to consider the appointment of two special law enforcement officers, Class 3, and then, pending approval of the appointments, to swear them into the oath of office. Chief Gale, would you like to introduce them and give a little background of their role in the township?
Yes, sir. It'd be my pleasure. And pleasure introducing everybody to Doug Boyle and Gerard Klein. There were candidates that we had selected for the Special Law Enforcement Officer Class 3 positions for the high school. Both gentlemen, retired gentlemen. Doug Moyle retired last year from the Pacon Township Police Department for 25 years. He was a detective. His first 7 years he's in law enforcement, he served as a juvenile detention officer and probation officer. He has extensive training and experience in dealing with juvenile issues and matters. He also has a bachelor's from East Stroudsburg University in criminal justice. And last year he served as a security officer at the Voorhees High School, so he's very familiar with the school, faculty, and everything else. Jerry Klein retired earlier this year as a captain from the North Plainfield Police Department, served 33 years, and the last 20 of which he served in a supervisory capacity in their criminal investigation division. He also has extensive training and experience in dealing with juvenile issues. He was a juvenile officer for years. Has a bachelor's degree from Purdue in criminal justice and a master's from Fairleigh Dickinson in administrative sciences. Both men have served honorably and with distinguished careers, numerous letters of citation and commendations and stuff. I think we're very fortunate and we'll be very lucky to have that quality personnel.
Just to remind the public the little background, with the events of the past couple of years, the state has actually passed legislation that created this position of a Class 3 special officer, which is limited to retired full-time or previously retired officers who now come to work part-time for the high schools. Last meeting, I think it was, we approved an agreement, a shared services agreement with the North Hunterdon and Voorhees High School District. They will be their services will be fully reimbursed to the township by the high school. Of course, we pay our fair share through the high school, but they won't come out of the township's budget. The other element of that is, since Voorhees High School is in our township, we are the only municipality that could provide these services to the township. So we're looking forward to not hearing from them again, put it that way. We hope their mere presence is a deterrent to anything that might happen over at the high school. With that, would there be a motion to appoint Gerard Klein and Douglas G. Moyle to special law enforcement officers, Class 3, for Lebanon Township?
I'll make the motion to appoint Gerard Klein and Douglas Moyle.
Mm-hmm. Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And with that, if you'd like to come forward, and maybe Jack, if you could assist holding the Bible, then we'll swear in the new officers.
One at a time, all the same timer.
Yes.
So, repeat after me. I'm sure you've done this more than I have at this point in your career. I, and then state your name.
I, Douglas G. Moyle.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
And to the governments established in the United States.
And to the governments established in the United States.
In this state.
In this state.
Under the authority of the people.
Under the authority of the people.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly.
Perform all the duties of a special law enforcement officer, Class 3.
Will perform all the duties of a special law enforcement officer, Class 3.
In the Township of Lebanon.
In the Township of Lebanon.
County of Hunterdon.
County of Hunterdon.
State of New Jersey.
State of New Jersey.
According to the best of my ability, so help me God.
According to the best of my ability, so help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And so when one of us runs into you, who's Douglas and who's Gerard?
I'm Douglas.
Okay. But interchangeable.
Oh. It was the other guy. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Nice to meet you. Yeah.
Thank you. Welcome.
Nice meeting you.
You too. Karen, nice to meet you.
Thanks, Chief.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, yes, they can actually have a couple of things, but well, we can take care of that later.
So, next. I have one community announcement ahead of the two proclamations on the agenda. It came to my attention this past week that there was the Hunterdon County 4-H Fair, and local resident Rebecca American was last week named a 4-H ambassador for Hunterdon County, recognized as an outstanding teen. She's active in horseback riding, judging, and various charities. So we congratulate Rebecca American as a 4-H ambassador. Next is a proclamation, first concerning National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. I will read this out given the importance of the topic. Whereas suicide continues to be a serious but preventable public health problem that can have lasting harmful effects on individuals, families, and communities. And whereas nationally suicide is the ninth leading cause of death overall and the third leading cause of death among Americans aged 5 to 14, and the second leading cause of death among Americans aged 15 to 24. Whereas most recent data shows that in New Jersey, suicide has decreased to 9.7 self-inflicted deaths per 100,000 people, demonstrating that through education and public awareness, suicide rates can improve. And whereas the best way to minimize risk of suicide is to learn about risk factors, recognize warning signs, and take them seriously, and know how to respond to possibly save a life. And whereas National Alliance on Mental Illness, Hunterdon County Chapter, which will be abbreviated the NAMI Hunterdon, is proud to partner with Hunterdon County Stigma Free Task Force to end the bigotry against people afflicted with mental illness. Whereas local suicide prevention efforts, including Hunterdon County Stigma Free Task Force, work to raise awareness, eliminate stigma, promote suicide prevention as a public health issue, and increase help seeking behavior. And whereas effective prevention strategies are needed to promote awareness of suicide while also promoting prevention, resilience, and a commitment to social change. And whereas the NAMI Hunterdon invites all residents of Hunterdon County to become educated about suicide and participate in National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. And now, therefore, the Township Committee of the Township of Lebanon do hereby recognize September 2018 as National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month throughout the Township of Lebanon, and be it further resolved that the Township Committee of the Township of Lebanon call upon our citizens to take the Cure Stigma test today to see if they are affected by stigma at curestigma.org and pledge to be stigma-free. Is there a motion to approve the proclamation?
I'll make that motion to approve the proclamation.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Just like to add also the huge amount of veterans that are committing suicide is alarming, 22 a day.
Thank you for that. The next proclamation is actually quite bittersweet for our township. In the past couple of weeks, the proclamation was brought to us by Anthony Casali, a very active member of our community, who passed away last week. And in fact, what I appreciated most about Anthony was he had a lot of knowledge about a lot of topics, and he was more than willing to provide that knowledge to the township wherever he could to be helpful to the township. He was a member of the Republican Committee for Hunterdon County and also a very regular poll worker. I don't know if anyone else has anything they'd want to say about him.
He was a close friend. I believe he was a brother in Christ.
So Anthony also was an avid square dancer and brought to our attention this proclamation. Whereas square dancing evolved from the various national and folk dances brought to America by the first settlers and the immigrants that followed, and whereas providing recreational opportunities for Americans, square dancing promotes social interaction between people of differing backgrounds, and whereas composed of basic moves called and performed in varied combinations, square dancing advances physical activity, mental well-being, friendship, and goodwill among participants and spectators, and whereas square dancing continues to appeal to people of all ages, walks of life, and background, now, therefore, I, Mike Schmidt, Mayor of Lebanon Township, do hereby proclaim September 2018 as Square Dance Month throughout Lebanon Township, encourage all to celebrate this truly American recreational activity and the dancers who are helping to preserve this tradition for future generations. Would there be a motion to support this proclamation?
I'll make that motion to support the proclamation for Square Dancing Month.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Now we have two ordinances that were introduced at the last meeting, and tonight is the public hearing for these ordinances. The first, ordinance number 2018-05, is a capital ordinance. This formalizes the township's ability to spend capital that was budgeted earlier this year. In this ordinance, we are allocating $382,000 to various mostly DPW, Department of Public Works related activities for road resurfacing, the chip and seal road program. Also, the acquisition for the DPW of a new pickup truck with snowplow, which will actually be a Mason dump at this point, a new trailer for their equipment, and a new salt spreader. It also includes the acquisition of self-contained breathing apparatus equipment for use by the fire department. First order of business would be to open to the public for a public hearing. Is there a motion?
Make a motion to open the public hearing.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. At this time, if any member of the public would like to comment on the capital ordinance number 2018-05, seeing none.
Make the motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Any discussion from the committee?
No, I read through it. I'm good.
And is there a motion to adopt ordinance number 2018-05?
I'll make a motion to adopt ordinance 2018-05 for the capital ordinance.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. The next ordinance on our agenda is a so-called salary ordinance. Again, if I say anything incorrect, I look to our clerk and our mayor to our attorney to correct.
Don't push that on me. Did my time.
My understanding is that state statute requires us to establish by ordinance a salary range for all of our employees. Most of these employee salary ranges have been unchanged since 2014, which I'll describe a little bit later when we have a resolution for changing a handful of these salaries. The police, however, have had an agreement, their contract, so they have been moved up. So to some extent, it's a housekeeping ordinance to move up the ranges of different salaries in order for us to actually pay salaries of what we want to pay. But this ordinance doesn't actually pay anyone any particular salary. At this point, the first order of business would be a public hearing on Ordinance 2018-06, the salary ordinance. Is there a motion to open to public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, if any member of the public would like to make a comment on Ordinance 2018-06, our salary ordinance. Seeing none, is there a motion to close public comment?
Make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Any discussion or comments from the committee?
I believe we're still getting the same pay as I was getting 8 years ago in 2010.
That's an upper range. Cap on our expenses. Any other discussion, or is there a motion to adopt Ordinance 2018-06?
I'll make a motion to adopt Ordinance 2018-06, salary ordinance.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Then we have the introduction of a couple of ordinances here. The first ordinance is Ordinance 2018-07. This would be introduced tonight for a public hearing scheduled for September 19th. The background of this is that with the new administration in Trenton, the new Attorney General has promulgated, that's my SAT word for tonight, promulgated new regulations specifically related to mandatory drug testing in our police department. And in order for us to comply with these new regulations, we need to update our police department Rules and Regulations Ordinance, Section 74-4. Any discussion from the committee? Is there a motion to introduce Ordinance 2018-07 for a public hearing to be held September 19th, 2018?
I'll make the motion to introduce Ordinance Number 2018-7. Ordinance amending the code of the Township of Lebanon to specifically Chapter 77, Police Department, Article 1, Section 77-4, Rules and Regulations. Public hearing to be held on September 9th.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next ordinance to be introduced also for public hearing September 19th. This is an ordinance creating an exchange zone for internet-based transactions at the Lebanon Township Municipal Building. This topic first came up, I believe, while Committeeman Lowell was mayor, also brought forward by the police chief. More recently, Committeewoman Kohler has done a lot of the background work that led to this actual draft, which was prepared by the chief of police, taking into account various considerations, which I will mention here. The thought is pretty much right outside this window where there would be very good 24-hour-a-day lighting as well as video recording. We would paint and put some signage, and if people were looking for a neutral and safer place to transact internet-based transactions, that's where we would put it. A couple of caveats here is we want to be very clear what we're providing and what we're not providing. It's recorded video so that if there is an incident, we can go back and see what had happened. The township is not providing police personnel or staff to witness transactions. We also make no representation as to what is transacted, so we're not warrantying either side of any transaction. And to be clear, just due to size constraints, we're not going to allow the exchange of or the sale of vehicles, certainly no weapons, no illegal substances to be transacted in that in that zone. Any discussion from the committee?
Looked real good to me.
For residents, this is just for residents? Or
well, we can't control who comes for the public. Okay. I mean, I think we're putting it in place to benefit our residents, but we're not limiting it. It's open to the general public. Okay. Any other comments or discussions? If not, is there a motion to introduce Ordinance 2018-08?
I'll make the motion to introduce Ordinance Number 2018-08, an ordinance creating an exchange zone for internet-based transactions at the Lebanon Township Municipal Building.
Is there a second?
A second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And the third ordinance to be introduced tonight is Ordinance number 2018-09, an ordinance amending the code of the Township of Lebanon County, Lebanon Township, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey, to require consent for a non-law enforcement employee of the township to enter a residence while performing township duties. It's recently come to our attention that while all of our professionals who deal with the public and have to enter township residents' homes for their duties, had training and understanding of what the policies should be, it turned out we didn't have anything formalized in writing, and we wanted to go back and make sure we had it formalized, partly keeping in mind that next year we'll have a revaluation of the township where we'll have contractors from the assessment firm that will need to enter every residence or attempt to enter every residence in the township. And so we wanted to formalize that every person who needs from the township, whether it's a contractor, an agent, an elected official, or an employee, needs to obtain consent of an adult over the age of 18 in order to have authorized permission to enter that. It also became apparent or came to our attention that the township employees that need to function with the public don't have official credentials issued by the township. So we're also putting in this ordinance that we will issue them photo IDs with sufficient credentials to identify themselves as township employees with a need or duty to enter people's residence. Any discussion on this ordinance?
I have a lot to say, but it's...
The floor is yours.
I told Matt, you know, he's going to have to, you know, make sure that I don't get into trouble with what I'm saying, but I do have some opinions on this. First of all, let me just get my stuff here.
Who did you mention next year was going to have to?
The revaluation contractor, those assessors that we're going to have to hire.
Property assessors.
Exactly. They will approach every residence. Now, you don't have to allow them in, but if you don't allow them to assess your home, I believe the way that works is they check off the higher value boxes unless you can show them otherwise. But so it's to your advantage.
Do
to let
they
them
take
in.
Pictures and stuff, or is that
I'm
a
not the
mandatory requirement? Or
I think that contract proposal will be coming to us in a future meeting, so I don't know the precise details on that yet.
Why do you think we need an ordinance, first of all, for this? Will it help?
I brought it that question to the attorney, who said we could do it by resolution, but then the resolution would have to be reauthorized every year as part of our reorg, and if we wanted to make it a permanent a permanent policy, then an ordinance was the way to do that. Doesn't mean it can't be modified if we find reason to modify it in the future, but so that it doesn't get lost in the paperwork.
And that's the other thing. How does it, if you create an ordinance, is it going to sit on a book somewhere, or are you going to be able to enforce what's in here? Like, if somebody violates this ordinance, what's your recourse? And if they're a statutory or a union employee versus non-union?
Well, I think the issue is there's twofold. There's items contained in here which are simply a recitation of established state statute that you've already referenced. And, of course, we can't undo that, but we can certainly restate it. There's additional, as the mayor indicated, with regard to having IDs and things like that, that are within our purview to install. The purpose of codifying it at the local level is to have it as that, that foundation or that template. If there is conduct that is perceived to be outside of it, that, that we can then take action, as opposed to not having a standard, not promulgating it, not, not having a meeting or some discussion with the affected employees to say, here are the guidelines, makes it more difficult to take any type of remedial, let's be polite, say remedial action in the future. So that this gives us a more solid foundation to take actions if conduct is judged to be outside of the parameters of these, of these sections.
If I could just add, it was, it, to me, it's also important that it gives us the opportunity to retrain our employees, to say it that way. I mean, most of them know this, they all know this, but it gives us a, an opportunity to go and say, this is a critical policy, we're passing an ordinance to make it clear to everyone. Not that anyone disputes that it shouldn't be the case, but that's important. And your point about enforcing it, and you mentioned unions, there is a, there is a article in the union contract regarding disciplinary action, and if this were violated, we would follow those procedures.
That's was, because it was going to be my question about that too, because I'm wondering if you, are you going to have, would we have people sign that they read this and then have a note in their file, so if they did violate this, that's how
we could,
it
I
works
mean, that's a procedure
normally
that, that's a, I don't know that that would be part of the ordinance, but that could be the implementation of the policy,
right.
Certainly
from a best practices model, it's always advisable and easier to defend if any new ordinance or even a policy, even something that's voted on up here, that's a resolution, is disseminated mm-hmm. in the manner that you've laid out, that, that everybody acknowledge, whether they read it or not, mm-hmm. But that they were formally handed it and made aware of its content.
Yeah, because I mean, what happened here is serious. It's, in my opinion, I'm not a lawyer, but it's a Fourth Amendment violation.
Well, I don't want to address specifics. We have certain guidelines that we'd have to adhere to in order to do that. But again, the specifically, just as a specific example, Section 3 here is not something. Section 3 is. Has to do with affirmatively presenting credentials. That's not a state law requirement. Certainly within your purview to impose that on people acting on behalf of the township, whether they be full-time employee appointed or, as the mayor's a contractor. You know, if we're going to outside contract somebody to do that. But as you said, there are other provisions of the law that are spoken to here that really is just a codification locally of what is already state law. That's correct.
The other thing I'm looking at here, too, is Section 5, administrative warrants. Is that something that every single employee who does inspections in this town is able to do, is get an administrative warrant? And
that's,
will it?
Another example of that's simply a recitation of the current state of state law. And whether every enforcement official that works for us or any other municipality is specifically aware of that or not, that is the current state of the law. That is their recourse. As been indicated, sometimes actions will be taken without gaining entry. Sometimes entry will be absolutely required in order to accomplish it. There is also a provision that allows, that requires, if those steps are taken and there's additional costs incurred,
right,
that the resident bears those costs, you know.
Well, and then
for that,
the other situation, because I've been, you know, looking at some case studies on this, you know, not necessarily all in New Jersey, because I realize our laws are different. But if somebody gets an administrative warrant and they're forced to be let in, or they say they've got to come in, but the homeowner says, I don't want you in, and then somebody does something, because I can't be specific about it, that allows them to infringe on that person's 14th Amendment rights to due process. How is that going to work?
Well, I think that for other reasons, or for many reasons, and also the safety of our employees as well as the general public is that if an enforcement, and not, first of all, just to preface this is for non-law enforcement employees,
right.
and
mm-hmm.
because that's an entirely separate conversation with a different level of training and a different level of reasons to be in a residence. But many instances where access is denied to non-law enforcement personnel, I believe it's best practice that that individual employee remove themselves from the scene. I don't believe that that a non-armed there's been very serious and sometimes catastrophic situations, and believe it or not, it's often involved animals, pets, both domesticated and livestock and whatnot. That it's not for non-law enforcement personnel to seek to gain access, even with a warrant, if the resident is defiant or not fully understanding the impact of that warrant. It's to not, push that issue.
Well, this makes it very difficult. I mean, nobody wants to see something bad happen to certain people if they violate this right now. But I personally feel the need to do a Rice situation so that we can just get this all out on the table and not talk about it cryptically like this. Because my objective would be that the homeowners win, the township wins, we have policies that are in place that are enforceable, and no matter who is doing these inspections, I don't want there to be some kind of a loophole that this just becomes lip service. Because to me, it's a serious issue.
Well, I guess reading into that, or I don't want to read into it, but I guess the generality of the proposed ordinance is one discussion, and if you're suggesting or indicating there's a specific discussion to occur involving particular individuals, really doesn't there are procedures that need to be complied with.
Two separate.
Yeah,
incidents.
It's two separate discussions. I mean, the general ordinance doesn't, of course, require any specific action of individuals, and this committee is certainly within their powers to enact the general ordinance.
I just want to make sure that it has teeth, that it's not something that we're just putting in a book, that it doesn't, that that state statute doesn't trump this ordinance and then it becomes null and void, that you can't do anything with it because, or the union contract trumps it or something. We have to think all that stuff through. I don't see the need to race into it tonight. I think it's got to be done right, thoughtfully, with the residents in mind and with the township in mind, and the township is composed of the residents. So,
well, I understand your point, and it's well taken that there are issues of preemption, and the proposed ordinance is drafted in consideration of that. And like I said, some of the provisions are simply a codification locally of existing state law, and that the issues that are outside of state law would be particularly, like I said, Section 3. It's my particular opinion that you're well within your rights to enact that. The interplay between contractual rights and obligations that various employees have would still remain in effect. So we would have to comply with whatever discipline procedures set forth in those contracts, and also with statutory protections that different appointees have, and various as I believe all committees are aware, we have different authority over different levels of appointees and whatnot. So, I'm certainly never try to avoid pride in authorship, and if there's additional ideas or information, but I would, like I said, as far as it being unconstitutional or in conflict with state law, it's my opinion that it is not as currently written.
Well, I'm looking at a lot of these state laws, and New Jersey seems to be the most generic, loosey-goosey, mercury, trying to nail them down on something, can't do it. And I also called around, and I found out that there really are no, I can't even say who I called, but, professional standards and general procedures for administrative inspections. And certain states have certain standards that, I have their state statutes, and we don't have that. So I'm wondering, like, even if we do part of a training program, first of all, that's what I want. I want teeth and something that can be used, not just sit on a shelf. And then I did find a professional standards and general procedures for administrative inspections, which I think if we looked at as a committee, we could use to put some policies together to train the people. It's mm-hmm. just a template that's out there that looked pretty good, and we can add to it. It's a start. Mm-hmm. But, again, I'm going back to win-win, you know, for the township, for the homeowners, for the rest of the homeowners, and to make sure that employees are treated fairly, too. Like I said, if we did rice, it's not like I'm saying we're doing it to take action against the employee. We're doing it so I don't have to talk like this. It's so cryptic.
Well, just to address your overall point, too, is that I believe that to codify it by way of ordinance is the strongest way to give it teeth and have it permanency and enforceability. As far as, you know, if it's committee's opinion to add or subtract from things, that's obviously your earned right and prerogative. But to the manner in which it'd be accomplished best, as you've stated, the goal of giving it teeth would be to enact it as an ordinance, which is, you know, remains on the books. Enforcement or applicability is a day-to-day issue, and that's what we do here and what happens here in between our meetings. So that's
the
point. But
narrow
again,
it down.
Enacting it is certainly the best way to make mm-hmm. it have the teeth you've referenced.
Just for my clarification, just like the ordinance gives us essentially the teeth, and then our policies would be how we enact the ordinance. Is that like
your policy would be how on an ongoing basis you dealt with it, right. For example.
So once we establish this, then we can essentially create the policies on how personnel are trained, handle themselves, the identifications, you know, if we're the broad strokes are here and the details are in the policies.
Right, the details of where these credentials are going to come from, exactly what they're going to say, what we're going to do if you lose it, if you don't. Those details that we deal with on all the other issues, we get into the depth of it.
Yeah, because as I understand, you don't want to put some of those details in an ordinance because things change so consistently. You don't want to have to be changing the ordinance all the time because of a technology change or an item change. You want to have this so it allows you to change your policies when, you know, next week we can have little hologram things that people can hold up in front of
right,
them.
Right, right, right. And that's a good point. In that the baseline, as far as the structure of the behavior we expect or in actuality require from our employees is set down in writing. And as the committee woman has said, is not just set in writing but promulgated to the employees so they know that what the standard we expect or demand is.
I feel, I can't even get into it. I'm reading something here and I'm saying I can't say it.
Well, my question then is there items in here that you don't like that we should add?
No, what I see, the only thing
like,
that really...
Missing, are there things you feel we're missing from this that we should add that aren't detailed?
Do you want me to read something? I can give
you an example. I don't necessarily want you. I'm just wondering if you're, you know, what you're talking is there something you think we're missing on how to handle this, or is it something that you're referring to is something that should be in the policy that's more detail related?
I just don't think it's enforceable because it's not what I'm going to say is not part of our state statute, so I don't know if we put it in here. You could put it as a policy, maybe we make it a municipal policy that what I'm going to say is used even though it's not part of the statute, but then can you enforce it?
Well, If it's not preempted, if it's a power that's granted to us to enact, then the answer is yes. If it's preempted by state statute, the answer is no. If it's in conflict with that,
let me read what I have here, and I'm going to leave some words out so you'll get it. And I may even cryptic this up a little bit. If an inspection is required pursuant to blah, 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 this person shall notify the owner of the fact in writing and shall provide the owner clear written notice of the owner's rights relating to inspection. The owner may request that the inspection. In other words, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and the thing is that what you're putting down is and this isn't going to be the, but is going to vary depending on the statutory or appointed position that's making that action.
Right.
Because there's a deviation in duties and responsibilities.
Right.
So I'd have to, you and I would have to have an in-depth conversation on that.
Well, I'm talking common courtesy. I mean, people can do things, but there is a common courtesy that I think professional standards that we could put into our policy and guidelines that, and I don't know if that will give you the ability to do any disciplinary action if it's not used, but I'm more concerned about that administrative warrant.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah. And I we're having a conversation. I don't know if anybody else on, but I understand your request. I believe, and there's a likelihood of our actions being limited and being preempted. And I think you and I have spoken on these things in the past that there are things that we make. There may be a perception that we control that we don't. Under the law control,
that our
enforcement ability over various things is limited by state statute.
I'm telling you, I feel so strongly about this that I feel like taking that on myself and trying to get the statute changed because it's been done in other states.
Well, I don't know exactly what the statute is, but my opinion from what I'm understanding is, as a resident or whatever you want to consider me. I want to know.
We hope you're a resident.
You're going to have to make an appointment if you want to come in my house. Period. That's just my opinion.
And I would only. I understand that, and I.
There are ways to get around that in a larger way by noticing people. I mean, I know you can't
and
do.
And how
it
much would you like us to expand
one.
Our staff to coordinate all of these appointments? I mean, I've looked and talked to other municipalities, and it is typically not done for a lot of appointments.
Yeah.
What happens is,
I'm just giving you my personal opinion.
I'm just
I think all our residents should have that right too.
And in an ideal world, I agree. It's just a question of how big a staff we need to accomplish that.
Right.
And as I understand it, what's normally done is an employee who needs to make an inspection approaches. And if no one replies or if they're not authorized to grant access, they leave a card, sometimes just tucked in the door, to say, please follow up. But we also can't have a situation
Why couldn't we not do some kind of a mail out?
That's my point. We could. It's a question of how much staff
we need.
We could
craft something, maybe.
How much staff do we need to coordinate schedules?
In a day of cell phones, I would think the person could pick the phone up and call the person, because sometimes the permits that are needed, the number is on the permit, and
sometimes
the person can just call.
In a sense, it could save time for that person who's doing
these inspections instead of being denied and having to go back too. I mean, that's the other part.
Sometimes inspections are done outside, and I mean, I think we would all need to really discuss that with the individuals who carry these out, because the outside inspections, if there's a terrible rainy day, postpone it till there's a better weather condition. It's a certain fluidity that
I understand
it
would be
to work.
Further discussion for later, policy wise and stuff.
Yeah, and you know, and also what you have to think about too is no trespassing signs. If every person in this township knew that they could put no trespassing signs up and the person isn't going to really be able to come any further, that's going to cause a problem. So I'm thinking the common courtesy would be to do your best to be professional about it. And especially, you know, you have situations where, you know, there could be bad dogs.
I have no doubt that all of our employees do their best to be professional in all of their actions. I have no doubt about
that.
Well, no, I know.
I agree with that, too. However, it does cause a safety issue coming unannounced
right.
on somebody's property.
I agree.
I got two German Shepherds.
I agree. And I think, as the attorney said, if, you know, if they perceive danger, they back away.
Right.
They don't.
Well, if they're keen enough to. But
yeah.
You
know. Yeah.
So it'll be so. More discussion yeah. later, but they're, you know.
What happened here is, I'm not going to say it's not professional. It's more.
Well, I think we're talking about general applicability of a broad range of enforcement personnel, and not for the sake of what's under consideration, as opposed to specific incident and individuals.
And the other thing, I'm looking at this. Let me just see. There was the one question. Okay, so I was worried about the. That administrative warrant thing really bothered me because I saw what it could turn into by looking at some case studies. So that bothered me because I think it puts more duress on the homeowner if it's not handled properly. And I don't know how our state – I couldn't find anything on our own state statute about it. So if – yeah, something I'd rather look into. But
well, again, that's really a codification of the recourse that we would have, meaning – It's written to make sure that our employees and agents know that when they're denied the response is to walk away and take administrative action, not to stand on a door and say, well, if you don't let me in, mm-hmm. you know, this or that or the other thing, and that it is the more measured response, and again, that's not in contravention or in amplification of state statute. It's simply a recitation of what the recourse is, what should be done. And yeah. And again, even people that do it for a living aren't always aware of that, particularly people that are new to it or mm-hmm. people that are hired as outside contractors to do
well,
it.
Well, I just, you know, I see the word shall, and that tells me they will, whether it be this type of employee or this type of employee will go get an administrative warrant from a court. It doesn't say may. It says will or shall.
Shall meaning must.
Must, yeah, which I
meaning would. You can't, if you're denied consent, your recourse is to get the warrant, not to take matters into your own hands.
But can you get a – can every one of these employees that do inspections, can they get a warrant? Are they able to get a warrant? Is that something you can do to enter
– Well, it says shall seek an administrative warrant.
Okay,
now,
seek.
Now, a court – I, you know, we could have. There could be an instance where the majority of the situations we're framing now are employees that are tasked with direct enforcement issues that, in their opinion, require entry. There could be a court, a judge can decide is you don't need entry for that particular thing. It's a roof issue. A judge could say you don't need entry to the house. You know, why are you here? And could deny the warrant. So, mm-hmm. the wording of Section 5 is the impetus of that is to say, when you're refused consent, you go to court. You mm-hmm. don't. There is no. Well, do you know who I am, or mm-hmm. do you know what's going to happen if you don't give consent? You take a step back. You withdraw. You seek a warrant. If the warrant's denied, then that's the end of the matter. If the warrant is granted, there's an electrical inspection before the sheetrock goes up, and we're denied entry. It's a safety issue. You know, there's not going to be a CO granted. There's not going to be a final inspection. And you go to court, the judge is going to say, of course you're granted. You have to go in order to make that inspection so that we can ensure that the person who buys that house, isn't in danger. The judge is going to grant that administrative warrant. It's not a search warrant. It's not a warrant to. It's not a warrant to seize anything. It's simply an administrative warrant to enter the residence, to perform the task, and it's up to a judge to decide whether or not it's appropriate to request.
So, if this situation happened in the case of an assessment of some sort, and the person got an administrative warrant, and the people disputed how the assessment came out. Would they be able to have any recourse if they didn't let the person in, even though they had a warrant and another method had to be used to assess? Because then you're getting into that due process.
Yeah, there's variables in there that I can't ascertain in order to give an accurate answer. I mean, again, there's due process. That's the whole point of the administrative warrant process, is to ensure that the resident receives due process.
But so that's the warrant not process. So he's working, from what I'm reading in the case studies.
Agreed. Look, there is a wide range of activity that occurs at the door, and that's one of the reasons to do this, is to rein it in. And again, that's without getting into specific examples or scenarios. You have many different people acting on behalf of the township or any municipality with different understandings of what their authority and rights and obligations are at that door, depending on how they're received.
The other thing is just, and this was a nit thing, it talks about unless they obtain consent from an adult over the age of 18 who is present at the time and has the legal authority to grant such consent. Can you define that? Because this isn't about you being generic, but I'm so sick of reading
generic
stuff.
It's not
generic.
It's broad in the sense that they're if I lease a property, the tenant has the authority to grant consent. They're not the owner. So mm-hmm. It doesn't say the owner, and for example, I could be the general contractor building the house, and I'm present on scene. The house hasn't been CO'd. I'm hired by the owner. I'm in charge of the job site. I have the authority to grant consent into that.
So that can
be true. There's many different scenarios where to say owner is too limiting and would box us in. And would prevent. You know, if some giant corporation owns 10 building lots and there's one job supervising all 10 of those lots, and our electrical inspector shows up, the owner is not present to grant consent. So does that mean those inspections can't occur, or is some corporate vice president from, you know, Toll Brothers supposed to? It's just. It's not meant to be generic. It is meant to be broad. So that's the reason for the looseness, so to speak, in that language.
And I would also note from the other side, I don't think the burden can be on our employees to determine, are you the owner? Show me that you're authorized. I think, to me, it's the point is, clearly if they're under 18, you're not authorized no matter what you say. But if somebody's brother is, you know, at the house for that weekend, and the person comes to the door and they say, yeah, sure, come in. I don't think our employees can know, are you the actual owner? Are you the brother?
Well,
did your brother say you could come in?
Like
how
that.
Are they supposed to, if the person answers the door and says, yeah, sure, come on in, how are we supposed to know?
I understand your point. However, they should have a form that whoever is giving them access signs.
And maybe we could have that
as a way to
it's a matter of how much we want to.
There's ways to craft.
Yeah, exactly. But that doesn't mean we're asking for their driver's license.
Sure. I'm not saying that. Sure.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the burden is on whoever says, yeah, come in, that you're authorized to say, yeah, come in.
Any more discussion?
Well, I don't have problems with the ordinance. I like what Matt was saying, that you have it in two phases. You've got the ordinance, and then we really need our homework cut out for us, because this affects several different employee situations, and we need to make sure that whatever we do here doesn't hinder one of the other ones. It's really got to be well thought out. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how we do can we do that in executive session? Do we have to do it all in public? Can we form a subcommittee? You know, how do we get it done so that we get the end result we want?
Well, there's certainly general issues of liability and safety that would probably necessitate a closed session. But obviously the adoption of any provisions or changes would have to occur in public. And the one other thing, just while we're talking about it, so it doesn't slip my mind, when we do contract for services, we should explicitly reference, if this is enacted, that the contractor and any employees will act in accordance with this, so that they don't bid on it and then come in and say, we're changing our bid because you're making us get a form signed, or you're making us pre-schedule, those kind of things. So we should preemptively require that they they agree to these terms, that it's incorporated into the terms to the bid specs.
That's a good point.
But yes, there are certainly issues of general application that could concern potential liability to the township that might require an executive session if they're enacted or considered.
You need a motion, Mayor?
If there is a motion.
I'll make a motion to introduce ordinance 2018-09 requiring consent to enter residence while performing township duties.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay.
Public hearing.
Oh, public hearing September 19, 2018. Thank you.
Okay, next on the agenda is Resolution 62-2018, titled Supervisory and Statutory Employee Salaries. Again, some background here. One point of background is that most of Lebanon Township's non-police employees are represented by the Communication Workers of America Union. The contract with that union expired at the end of 2014. We have a somewhat unique situation that, let me back up. There's another category of municipal employee protection that comes from state statute where, and again, correct me if I misstate anything, but there are four so-called statutory positions that every town has to have that are governed by statute, which is the township clerk, the township tax collector, the chief financial officer, and the tax assessor. By state law, as I understand it, in order to make sure that there's no shenanigans in a town, if you give one of those statutory employees a raise, you have to give equal raises to all of them so that you're not disadvantaging different people in those different categories. We have a unique situation, or relatively unique, unusual, certainly highly unusual, where two of our statutory employees are actually members of our union. So historically, we've always had the situation where we negotiate the union contract first, because then that gives the salary to the four any salary increase to the four statutory employees. If we were to, otherwise it gets difficult to go the other way around. However, given that our at least two non-union statutory employees and our road supervisor, who's also not a member of the union, have now gone since the end of 2014 with zero change in their salaries, the township has gotten to the point where we've made an economic proposal for salary increases to the union, and since the committee is prepared to give those raises to the union members, we felt it was fair to give those salary increases preemptively to our four statutory employees and our road supervisor. So the salary resolution you see in front of you starts with the 2014 base salary. You will then see that we are retroactively giving increases of 1.5% for 2016. And so that you don't think I missed it, there's a 0% increase for 2015, 1.5% for 2016, 1.7% for 2017, and 1.8% for 2018. If you compound that over the 4 years, the salary for 2018 for these five employees will increase by 5% over their current 2014 salary level. I won't go through each detail, but each employee will also get a retroactive check to bring them up for the salary that we're authorizing retroactively 2016-17 and the first now almost 9 months of 2018. Any comment or discussion from the committee?
Yeah, just are there any of these employees that are really getting compensated other ways and it's not a salary?
I think you're probably looking at the chief financial officer.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it because I didn't know if I could.
Well, it's publicly on the sheet.
No.
And now, if the clerk or attorney stop me, you'll see an odd step for the, we'll just call that out. The CFO 2014, his salary is listed as $2,439.84, and then it jumps to $29,277. The background to that is, prior to 2010, the CFO had a negotiated salary don't hold me to the exact number, something in the order of $25,000. Mm-hmm. He's part-time with our municipality. He had a position in another, I don't know if it was a municipality or firm, but he retired from that other position. Again, I don't know if any of us were on the Township Committee 2011, maybe, but he made an agreement where, okay, so... Correct me on that. The history. So he was not getting specifically health insurance benefits from our township at the time. When he retired from his other situation, he requested health insurance benefits, which is at the time was a $20,000 type benefit. Mm-hmm. And rather than put that benefit on top of a salary, he took a salary reduction down to a few thousand dollars a year. Plus, he got health insurance. Now, as the health insurance value or inflation, if you want to call it that, from 2010 was going up faster than the raises, the couple thousand dollars, or you say he got $5,000 on top of health insurance in 2011. Mm-hmm. The next year he got a decrease in cash because the value of his health insurance went up. I'm just trying to make it clear that these numbers all track. He's not been getting excess.
No, but is he just getting benefits? That's what I heard.
No, he's well.
I heard he's just getting benefits and no salary.
The point is, at the beginning, he went from a regular salary, call it $25,000, to then say a scenario of $20,000 in benefits, $5,000 mm-hmm. in cash. As the cost of the benefits went up so aggressively for the last year or two, he's actually gotten a few hundred dollars negative because the value of the health care had gone higher. Now his family situation is changing. He's going to go to a lower health care plan. So he will now start getting cash on top of
okay.
a lower health care plan.
That explains
but
it. Yeah.
To straighten this out so that everybody sees the full numbers, what's happening from 2014 to 2016 is that his salary will be and is $29,277, of which a significant portion of that is paid in health care benefits and a portion in cash.
Okay.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, because 2016 it was actually all health care benefit.
Yeah, what's
2018 it will go to a mix of health care benefit and cash. Okay. And I don't have the exact numbers for you, but that'll be prorated depending on when he went off the plan, et cetera.
So it's not that he gets cash and then pays his own health benefits.
No, he's just a member of the...
Okay, yeah.
So you could say he gets cash and we deduct the health care benefits, but practically speaking, we pay the health care premium and we pay him a small amount of cash.
Right.
So he's getting the value of $30,281.
Okay. That clears it up.
I hope I haven't overstated any information.
He would have stopped us.
Okay. What was the second thing you said?
Number 10 in that little...
So just to let you know, I did review all of that because it is a little mysterious. I didn't know if people wanted to hear it all, but there it is.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Is there a motion for Resolution 62-2018?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 62-2018, Township of Lebanon Supervisor Statutory Employee Salaries.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Next, under old business,
and that's confusing.
Given that this is Lebanon Township, we've got a little bit more confusion. So, a couple of meetings ago, came before us the police department's request to acquire a new 2019 police interceptor SUV. That was approved. It would be leased. After the meeting went into implementation phase, discussing with the actual vendor, turned out that there was some difference in the state contract and which state contract was covered by which co-op that allowed us to purchase it. And it turned out that we couldn't purchase the vehicle that we proposed to buy from the dealer that was in front of us. So what we're doing, the proposal in front of us tonight would be to rescind the purchase order from the August 1st meeting and then to consider the purchase of a nearly identical vehicle. It's now a 2018 police interceptor utility vehicle, very similarly configured, but it's now $200 more because it's got a slightly different configuration to it from a different vendor. So
So I need to make a motion first to rescind the purchase order given to Bayer Ford for the 2019 Police Inceptor SUV for $39,708.35.
Correct.
Which was approved at the August 1st meeting.
Which was approved at the August 1st meeting. So, yes, that is my motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And then before us would be, as proposed and appropriated in the budget earlier this year, police chief's request to purchase a 2018 police interceptor utility vehicle for $39,909 under New Jersey contract 88728 from Winter Ford.
So I'll make that motion that you just said.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Next item is a social affair permit. Do we make a motion on this or just inform? Okay, yeah. So social affair permit from St. John Neumann Church for an event dated November 30th, 2018, at which alcoholic beverages will be served. The questionnaire and information is before us.
I actually left a message for Barbara Pannone, the contact, because I see question number 13. How is alcohol being obtained? Is it donated or are you purchasing it? Please explain. And it says 3 ounces. So she hasn't called me back yet, but I said it's on the agenda for tonight, and if you could call me, but she might not be home. But, I mean, I don't think we need to hold it up for that, but I don't know if Matt knows.
We could make a motion to approve subject to you getting an appropriate, reasonable
let's
response.
Yeah, that works.
Do you want to make that motion?
I'll make it. Okay, I make a motion that we approve the application for the wine testing from St. John Neumann Church, contingent upon the answer from Barbara Pannone, the contact, regarding question number 13, how is alcohol being obtained? Is it being donated or are you purchasing? Please explain.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And so you'll report to the clerk once. So the clerk will hold this up until
actually
she reports.
The way this works is 7 days from the day that we receive it. We do not issue these liquor licenses; the state does. So we have 7 days from when we receive it to put a kibosh on it. But I don't think this is going to be an issue. I think and quite honestly, the state reviews these applications. If they have questions, they'll kick it. Mm-hmm. Back to the church also. Mm-hmm. So just if you can maybe call tomorrow and follow up.
Yeah, I'll find out.
Sooner than later.
I'll find out.
Yeah, because we don't issue it here. I have nothing to hold up.
So then just, I'll let you know either way.
Know. Mm-hmm. And if there's any issue, then I'll follow up with the state.
Yeah.
Okay. Next item, police chief's request to purchase a solar-powered radar sign. Since we have the pleasure of the chief with us, chief, would you like to give a little background on how this would be used and what you're asking for. And this was in the budget earlier this year as well, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a mobile, portable unit, if you will. It has 12-inch digital readout, and it's a lighter unit to where we can move it throughout the town. There's universal brackets to where I can mount it to a telephone pole in one area, take it to a sign pole or a light pole. So the plan is to move it around town as much as possible until we can possibly purchase more in the future.
And so I think this is responsive to residents who feel that there's speeding on their streets. It should slow people down.
It displays a digital readout on your speed, and we can program it to at a certain speed to where it'll just flash slow down, as opposed to somebody trying to triple digit it or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And you can download data from this to give you
it does have cloud capability to where we can load data for volume of traffic, speed, and stuff like that, similar to what my cables did. We put those out.
And what I've read in other applications, residents sometimes believe they're speeding on their street. We can put this temporarily on their street and we can tell them actually everyone's going 34 miles an hour. Because speed is so hard to judge, so
correct.
It not only responds to residents' concerns, but it should slow traffic. And
quite often, the data that we collect does substantiate that. Yeah, there may be that oddball flyer, but 99% of that traffic is falling within, you know, acceptable tolerance, a couple miles over, a couple miles under.
So this is a solar-powered radar sign at a cost of $3,096 from Traffic Safety Corp., and I know multiple quotes were solicited, and this is the lowest and most attractive of the quotes.
Yeah, I did receive several quotes.
Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the solar-powered radar sign for $3,096 from Traffic Safety Corp.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next item of business is...
Thank you.
Thank you.
Letter from our Department of Public Works Supervisor Warren Gabriel regarding a surplus sale. He lists three items, a 2010 Ford F-450 Mason dump. This was damaged in the March snowstorms when a tree fell on it. It has 74,796 miles on it, but it's felt the high cost to repair it would still potentially not achieve the safety and utility that that we'd like. So the thought is we could get a reasonable amount from a surplus sale. A 2004 Dodge Durango, this is 128,914 miles, have been used by the fire department, and the 2005 Toro Z-turn mower, which was replaced earlier this year as well. Would there be a motion to authorize these items to be advertised for surplus sale?
I'll make a motion to authorize DPW manager's request to advertise for surplus sale.
I'll second. Oh, he beat me to it.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Next item also from our DPW supervisor. Earlier tonight we approved the capital ordinance, so he's requesting what he terms release of capital funds. This he's just looking for the committee to authorize him to get final quotes and final bids and then come back to us with contracts to propose. So this doesn't spend the money, but it tells him that you know, he should put some effort into this. The first item is a Mason dump truck, which he expects to be $75,000, a V-Box salt spreader, which goes to an existing truck where the salt spreader is sort of rotted out, $18,000, and the air tow trailer of $15,000. Any discussion?
Sounds good.
Is there a motion?
Make a motion to approve DPW manager's request for release of capital funds.
I second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next item is a request from Squares Point, which I will abstain from and turn that over to the deputy mayor.
Okay. We have Squares Point. Are they here tonight? Yes. Asking the permission to use our seal of Lebanon Township on the Christmas ornament. Is that correct? Would you like to come up and just talk to us about that, or is there anything you want to discuss?
Not really. Well, every year we do an ornament. So this year we're the Squires Point, now that we're in our nonprofit, so we're going to start raising money for the things we're going to do, like the bathroom right now. So this year we want to use the township seal. So we figured because the town owns the seal, so we want permission to be able to use it. Help us raise money for...
Who's got the high-res art for this?
Huh?
Anybody? Who's got the high-res art for to give to the DNO?
We already have that one. We have somebody's been doing it. When I do it, I always have to get it vectorized anyways.
Okay.
So what's the ornament going to look like?
Like that. Like color? The picture you have right there.
Yeah, but that's black and white.
It's going to be black and white.
Is it?
Yeah.
Just black and white.
It's every color you add, it costs a lot more money, so it wouldn't be worth it.
Be a white background with white, yeah. With black.
That's how we've been doing every building.
I don't see any reason why we wouldn't allow them to do that.
Like that, yeah. It'll look just like that.
So I think it's a great idea.
No blue, no red.
You know?
No, that would be nice, the one that Kim had sent an email to me one time, and she had one that was, the sun was really, it was real pretty one, but that would have cost a lot of money to do.
Well,
we can do that. You offer some donations.
Easy. We spent some money tonight, all right? Make it easy. Yeah, I think that's a great idea also. So we need a motion to approve this to use our seal.
I'll make a motion to allow Squires Point to use the Lebanon Township seal for their Christmas ornament sale.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Abstain.
Thank you.
That's right. You even abstain from the roll, same roll.
Yeah, I just needed a refresher there.
Oh,
God.
Felt good, huh?
Ah, that takes us.
Felt good.
Yeah.
Take over.
Takes us to presentation of vouchers.
DPW, we only have one that qualifies. It's for war materials. The amount of $2,041.14. That's for asphalt.
Okay. I have none that qualify.
I have for the New Jersey Fire Equipment Company. This is capital for the Volunteer Fire Department replacement of carbon wrapped cylinders, the so-called Scott Pack replacement, for $26,838. Another for our JCP&L master account for August, $1,140.60. For Karen Newman for the 2018 fall newsletter and website maintenance, $1,000. Vital Communications for $1,309.62. Cooperative Communications, $1,049.68.
None that apply.
I have one from Griffith Allied Trucking for gasoline for the police for $1,008.40. That's it.
Any discussion of the voucher list? Or is there a motion to approve the voucher list?
I'll make a motion to approve the voucher list.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Now, correspondence. We have in our before us the minutes of the July 18th, 2018 Recreation Commission meeting. Any comments?
No, I read them. They're fine.
Okay. Next, we have a memo from the historians. They are scheduling a walking tour of New Hampton Historic District on October 7th, rain date October 14th. The museum will be open on that date with refreshments, and there'll be a walking tour following the refreshments through New Hampton, which is along Muskinecong River Road, for those of you who don't know. Tours would depart at 11 a.m. and again at 1:30. So that is into the record to be covered by insurance. Next, the tax collector's report for the month of July. Taxes collected for the year 2018, $128,426.70. Taxes collected back for the year 2017, $23,951.82. Taxes collected ahead for 2019 year, $30.28. Interest of $4,295.65 was collected. The lien redemption that we approved last meeting, $52,457.43. A return check fee of $20 for total collections of $209,181.88. And with that, we're to the point of public comment. For any issue that anyone would like to bring up, is there a motion to open to public comment?
I'll make a motion to open to public comment.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, the floor is open to anyone who would like to come to the microphone and make a public comment. Seeing none, is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second. Is there a second?
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. We will go into executive session with a couple of items. This would be Resolution 63 through 2018. The first is an item of attorney-client privilege related to our discussion of the Little Brook Lane Association. The second would be discussion of the terms of the CWA contract. The third will be discussion of the PBA contract negotiation that is upcoming. Is there anything else to place on executive session tonight?
You have one other personnel matter?
Yeah, there's a
You'd like to put that on tonight?
Well, not actually, it's the letter.
It's the letter, not the other, yeah.
Oh, that, sorry, yes, yes. I had that under the terms of the contract, because we're not discussing the letter per se. That's the discussion of the terms of the CWA contract.
I would I'd like to have that the other discussion you're talking about, not tonight, because I think there's too many things on the agenda. It's got to be a separate meeting all to itself.
Okay. So there are the three topics, and on those three topics, no action is expected after executive session tonight. So is there a motion for Resolution 63, 2018?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you very much.
How much is the police intercept utility?